Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky is back. Where you been, Mike?
Happy October 1st. Happy October 1st, man.
Yeah. Where you been?
I've been preparing all my food plots for deer season, and it's consumed a lot of my time.
Absolutely.
In and out of going and Lansing and back.
Yeah. Seemed like the last
time
we seemed like the last time we talked to you, we were trying to fix your dock.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad storm, and we've got that under control now. Between then and now, we've passed the historic budget, bipartisan support, fully negotiated, and now we're in the process of starting the process of contemplating how we're going to deploy the other $10 or $11 billion, most of which is one-time federal money, and that'll take a inordinate amount of time between now and the end of the year to do that. And I expect that to be a fully negotiated bipartisan process as well.
How did that budget all come together, Mike? Because there were some gloom and doom predictions, certainly, but in the end, you guys made it happen.
I really never had any doubt. Budgets are frankly, they're excellent example of what I call the student syndrome, and that is every project takes exactly as long as you allow it to take. And only when you get down to the end, the students get engaged with the reports that they have to file, and the same way with the budgets. You know, it gets close to crunch time, then everybody starts to roll their sleeves up and get along. We had a terrific team between Senator Stamos, Representative Albert, and Dave Masteron from the governor's office, and they were very masterful at working through the differences and coming up with compromises that made sense for everybody. And these budget bills were, you know, embraced and supported by a wide margin in both chambers. So I think that's evidence that it was fully negotiated and well done.
What do you like, don't like about it?
Well, there's not much I don't like about it other than, you know, I don't like the fact that we're continuing to print money at the federal level and causing our future generations to have to deal with some deficits that, frankly, I can't even get my mind wrapped around. But the biggest thing I like in this budget is the boilerplate language that the governor fully embraced, laying out the transparency and accountability measures required for any future executive orders so that citizens of Michigan and their representatives in Lansing can have full clarity as to what's behind the order, the resources used to substantiate the order, the conditions in which the order can be lifted, etc. All of which was hidden from us for the entirety of last year. And so I think it's a big win for all Michigan citizens.
Well, what do you expect now with this federal money? Is that going to be tough sledding to get through that?
No, I don't think so. But we are not going to give up on our overarching guideline, and that is it's intended to be used for capital-constrained projects that would be difficult to accomplish through a normal operating budget. And we're going to be very careful about putting money in places where it automatically results in future spending requirements. So, for instance, there'll be a very large water and bridge and dams and mental health, economic development, those kinds of things that I think everybody agrees are worthy of review and worthy of investment, but they don't necessarily result in increased ongoing operational expenses.
I know mental health is a big one with you.
Well, it should be a big one for everybody. This is something that we've been working on for a number of years. We've tried a couple of different approaches to test ideas. In most of those cases, the current status quo folks were able to stonewall them and not really be able to test the notions. And so now we're just going for a full integration of physical and mental health, in particular through our public health cohorts, you know, people on Medicaid, for instance. And it's been met with some terrific testimony in committee that I've been sharing. And we're now also working in conjunction with the policy changes. We're also working, beginning to put the pieces of the puzzle together on a pretty robust mental health supplemental that would include hundreds of millions of dollars to increase the capacity of mental health services in Michigan regionally, not just in one location, and hopefully in provide incentives for us for recruiting for providers, because we also have a dearth of providers as well. It's something that we've known for a while. The system has not corrected, and so there's a need for these kinds of reforms. It's being, like I said, well-received, except for those in the current system. We are very fortunate. Jackson, our LifeWays program, is one of the flagships of how to do it, mm-hmm. and I'm expecting that if these reforms go through, that LifeWays will actually get elevated and become one of the standards in the state, and I'm anxious to prove that outcome. So that will be my largest and single biggest focus personally between now and the end of the year.
So is there much talk up there about these lead line replacements? I see Benton Harbor's hoping to get $20 million. To get going on their project, and I think there's obviously Jackson's got a mess going, but there's a number of communities that are in the same boat.
Yeah, when I referenced a water supplemental from the federal money, that includes serious consideration for lead line replacement. I expect a supplemental which will have hundreds of millions of dollars in it, targeted for locals to accelerate their replacement of lead lines. It'll require some level of match. To make sure that everybody's partnering on it. But that'll be one of the largest line items in that, what I call the water supplemental. And so that is one of the top three, I will call, focuses on how to deploy the federal money.
A lot of, I don't know, jobs created, Mike, with this?
Well, we provided substantial funds for training activities, but there's not a lot of economic development in this current budget. That's something for future constant contemplation. And of course, we just had the most recent announcement of Ford choosing Tennessee and Kentucky over Michigan for their development of their electric vehicle campus, and that was a bit of a disappointment, and frankly, equally disappointing surprise. We hadn't, those of us in the legislature, we hadn't even heard about it, and I'm not sure exactly where that communication stopped at the executive office, but it's an example of the kind of things that states are doing now to prepare, make themselves prepared for companies who want to make major investments. This concept of a campus, corporate campus, is being driven substantially by the experience that we had with the shortages in supply chain and the interruptions in supply chain that we experienced through the last 18 months by shutdowns. And then that coupled with the fact that, you know, our reliance upon China is also in question. So we need to reevaluate our readiness for these kinds of investments. And what's most disturbing to me is that as this investment gets deployed in Tennessee and Kentucky, they don't necessarily have the same kind of trained talent as we do in Michigan, and keeping that talent from migrating from Michigan to Tennessee and Kentucky is something of concern.
Well, Ford knows that. Ford knows everything about Michigan. There's got to be something behind this.
Well, it's not that they haven't invested in Michigan of recent. I mean, they put $7 billion into Southeast Michigan. So it's not like they're stubbing their nose to Michigan. I just think we need to pay. What can we learn from what just happened? I think is the question on the table. What can we learn from what just happened? And that is precisely where we're focused.
Well, it's kind of stunning to hear that the leadership group in Lansing would not be aware of, you know, what was going on.
I can promise you that was a surprise to me.
Well, no, I certainly believe you.
Yeah. Yep. And then, we've got some action going on with election reform that is very bipartisan. We had a lot of laws be put into sent to the governor this week that adds more integrity, more robustness to our elections process. And like I said, they were in most cases bipartisan supported. So another indication that we're doing our job.
So you're getting ready for hunting season.
Yeah, I didn't go out this morning, obviously, because I had a phone interview with a pretty important fella. But you'll likely find me in a tree tonight.
Get after those geese.
Okay, buddy.
Take care. Thanks, Mike. Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey.